We'd like to thank the following sponsors: Yair and Miriam Franco, Michael and Danny Froelich, Shine Toby Grosson, that's Christopher Saber Turn for the hostages, Bill and Tamar Gross, Jump Into Shape, an online fitness program offering free 30 days. There's a link. Mendel and Miriam Luton for the yurt side of Miriam's father, William Nussbaum for Mordechai Ben Zvi, Aryan Karanet in memory of Chaim Zvi Ben Shmuel Zeb, Yitzhak Viva Novak, Josh Elise Rosenberg, Justin and Alyssa Shosheim, William Nussbaum for Sorobas Avram Zvi, and Jonathan and Ruchi Tiger. Without ado, without further ado
means you can spend the rest of the time.
There we go. Exactly. English is not my forte. Let's stick to numbers.
As is the minigun, everything that's been taking place this year in our Torah, so we always acknowledge the fact that this is the first of the events. So this is the first, oh, come on, we know it's a Super Bowl Shia, first special Shia that they're taking place in our Torah. So, Baruch Hashem, it's a one-to-one opportunity. We started this minig several years ago, and it's really been growing, and it's a tremendous, really, privilege to be able to be, say, a Shia on a regular, typical Sunday night in the middle of February to realize it's Chus HaRabim. There used to be a custom in Europe that the Rabbanim were employed only to say two drushes throughout the entire year. They had to speak on Shabbos Shuvah, they had to speak on Shabbos HaGadol, and that's going to some of the reason why the Rabbanim would get the Haftorah, they would get Maftar to thank them for doing their job. So in America, you can't get away with that. But in some rabbinic contracts, so it actually still says, and including the contract, I think I actually saw with the HaTorah, I think it says somewhere between the lines that the rabbi has to speak on Shabbos HaGadol and on Shabbos Shuvah. It doesn't say anything about any of the other Shabbos. Every Shabbos that I give a drush, it's out of the goodness of my heart. But Shabbos Shuvah and Shabbos HaGadol, that's part of the contract. So I imagine when somebody sits around, they ever get deciding to write the history of the American rabbinate, so somebody will point out that a new minhag started in many, many shuls, that the Rav has to give a shiur in the middle of February. And in 100 years from now, no one's going to know why, where that minute came from. It's a deep sin. Someone's going to write a Tommy Hammond Hunger as to where that came from, but this is where it came from. Baruch Hashem, it's not just an actual. Many, many shuls have already adopted this beautiful, beautiful practice of Talmud Torah D'Rabim on this unique night of the year. So I want to learn a sugya together. It's a sugya that's a little bit of sugya in halacha, a little bit of sugya in machshava and hashkafa, a little bit of a sugya in public policy, and you'll see what I mean in a moment. It's a sugya that the truth is we probably should have learned together many, many times over the past 18 years or so since we started the shul. It's something that has been a hallmark of our shul, not necessarily the only thing that we're proud of, but it's a particular aspect of the shul which I think is really something that as a community we actually should be proud of, because I think it really does set a certain tone and it sends a certain message. Not only for ourselves, for the community, but it sends a very, very important message to our youth as well. And it's a topic that I've gotten a little bit of pushback over the years, and people have questioned, and some people still continue to question, but it's Baruch Hashem, it is something that we have stayed strong on, and hope that Hashem to continue that way. But I want to learn the sugya together, and really it's the sugya, it's an important sugya, not so much to joke about, the sugya of alcohol in halacha. Alcohol in halacha and machshava, what role drinking does and does not play in the life of a Torah Jew, b'shama Torah mitzvahs, what is appropriate drinking, what is inappropriate drinking, what are the parameters of the halacha that relates to this, and to give a little bit, hopefully, an understanding as to why, in fact, we do have the policy in place, what we do, why I think it is still very, very important that as a role model, as a shul, we have to have certain standards in this very, very important area. So let's begin the sugya, and this is not going to be a 45-minute shia of just bashing, drinking. That's not the goal. I want to give, honestly, the different sides and to understand what the milas, what the chesronos are, what to take the approach that that alcohol has no role whatsoever in halach and in Torah is clearly not true. There are times of the year when we actually have certain mitzvahs that we perform in the context of drinking. So to take that negative attitude that it doesn't exist at all, it's just terrible, there's nothing to talk about, so of course that would be inappropriate. That would not be honest. On the other hand, obviously to open ourselves up and to say that the Torah and halacha sanctions just excessive kind of drinking without any limitation whatsoever is clearly false on many, many different levels. So let's try to be honest, like we learn any other sugya, we're going to be honest, we're going to show the different stadim, and what Lefidia's diet is very, very clear, crystal clear, what the halacha lemaisim ramifications of this sugya are. So the sugya begins, we have to really ask ourselves, is that where do we find the notion of alcoholic beverages, alcoholic drinks, And for the most of the Shia, we're going to use the word wine, because wine is the term that's usually used in halacha. We will see as we go on how we may have to tailor make some of those statements about other kinds of alcoholic beverages. I'm well aware that some of them do exist. I don't know about them personally, but I do know that they do exist on the horizon. So we will make mention of them when they are important and significant in halacha. But let's begin our discussion in terms of wine. So there is a mitzvah satorah that clearly catches our attention as to just how important, just how good, and just how positive wine is in the Torah model. The mitzvah that I'm referring to is a mitzvah that unfortunately we do not have the opportunity to perform today. Here we have HaMikdash, we'll go back to that mitzvah in its fullest sense. And that is the mitzvah of Niskei Hayayin. There is a mitzvah that appears in the Torah, the Niskehem, was a Lasa Tomei V'Niska. We say it many, many times over, that certain karbonos that are brought have to be accompanied not only as the carbon proper, but they are accompanied with menachos and nisachim. Menachos refer to flower offerings, nisachim refer to wine. I think the English word is libation. If you ask me what that means to libate, I think it means to pour on a mizbech. I'm pretty sure that's what it means. But the Torah speaks many, many times about the menachos and nisachim. And the question becomes just how important, just how significant is that part of the avodah, the offering of wine on the mizbech. So on the one hand, we would get the impression that this is actually the least important part of any given korban, because, quite frankly, it's not really ma'akev. It's so not ma'akev, we could so, in a sense, dispense without it by doing as follows. We can bring a korban today and bring the nesachim weeks and months and years later. May the Adam zivcha hayoim unesachav liachar alamed. And that would be acceptable, according to most, that would even be acceptable, even lechatchila. So that would almost put a little bit of a damper on just how important the Torah views the nesachim, the yayin. The yayin is almost like a second thought. It's almost like an afterthought in terms of a carbon. And nevertheless, there is an aspect of yayin in the realm of the Beis HaMikdash that is so powerful, because the Gemara tells us in the beginning of the sixth parak of Brachas, I see some of the Talmidim actually cross the bridge. Now you get a little bit of a sense as to what the Rebbe does every day, except you cross it on Sunday. I cross it every single day during a rush hour. Although on the way back, I don't remember whether they do construction tonight, but if they do construction, you're more than welcome to sleep in my house tonight, because you're never going to get back over the bridge. So the halacha is that when one brings the Nesachim, particularly we're talking about the Nesachim of the Kavan Sibor, Ein Omrim Shira Ela al Hayayin, that there is a Shira Salavim that accompanies the Karbonos that is so important, that is so significant, that that Shira Salavim is only said in the context of Yayin. So as great as the Korban is, as fantastic as the flower offering is, as important as the animal is, they all pale in significance. It is only at the time when the wine is being poured on the Mizbech that the Levim break out into Shira. Asher Shalavim Om Beis HaMikdosh is only and only and only B'shas Nisuch Hayayin. How in the world do we know that to be true? So some of the Talmidim may remember. It's the Gemara beginning of the sixth parak of Maseches Brachos. A very, very strange source. The Gemara quotes a source, and the Pasuk can say for Shoftim. That's assuming that we remember what we learned in fifth grade. That's assuming that we actually ever paid attention in fifth grade. But there is a Pasuk in fifth grade in Shoftim that is the Remez, the Asmach, or whatever the case may be, for this principle. So you do have to pay attention. I don't care what grade you're in. So comes Allah and tells us, Shira Salavim, just how important is that? Well, it's pretty important for the following reason. The Gemara comments on the Pasuk in Parshas Kisavo, Tachas Asher Lo Avadata Sashem Elokecha B'Simcha U'Vituv Levav, that a terrible thing is going to befall us if we don't serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Simcha U'Vituv Levav. Say Chazal, what is that Pasuk referring to? So that Pasuk has multiple meanings. So, of course, the Fipshuta Shemikra, that Pasuk is referring to the way the Rambam describes in the end of Hilchos Lulav, our entire Avedis Hashem is supposed to be an Avedis Simcha. If a person has a very negative view to Avedis Hashem, yeah, he gets up, comes to shul, he learns a little bit, but everything is with a kvetch, everything is not enjoyable. So that's a big problem. That's a chisar in the tachas ashelo avadatas shemakech v'simcha tuv leva. But the Gemara has an additional level interpretation of this pasuk. Tachas Hashela Avarta, Avoda refers to Avodas HaKarbonos. When you offer Karbonos, it has to be Besimcha V'Tuv Levav. The Karbonos have to be associated with a joyful experience. It has to be something that you love, that you're happy, that you're rejoicing about. So how do you do that exactly? How do you bring Karbonos in a state of Simcha V'Tuv Levav? Say Chazal, Havi Emezu Shira. That refers to that dimension of Avedis HaMikdash of Shiras HaLeviim. So here we have a pasuk that is being merames, that is hinting to Shiras HaLeviim, and telling us that Shiras HaLeviim is so important, is so critical, that if Shiras HaLeviim isn't performed properly, that is indicative that Klal Yisrael are not up to par in terms of their Simchas HaMitzvahs. And if they're not up to par in terms of the Simchas HaMitzvahs, Chalila v'chalila, what could result is Chorban. So Tachas Hashem Avadat Hashem L'Kechet doesn't say there's going to be a Chorban because you're not doing the mitzvahs. It doesn't say there's going to be a Chorban because you're not bringing the Kabbanos. What it says is there's going Chalila to be a Chorban because the Avedis HaKabbanos and the Avedis Hashem by extension is not done b'simcha. So wow, the Shiras HaLeviim, that's pretty serious. That is so important. In fact, it's for this reason that the Gemara tells us that the Beis HaMikdash was actually destroyed. The moment that the Goyim came into the Beis HaMikdash was actually the time when the Levi was singing Shira. Almost to show us that the Shira was deficient. The Shira wasn't up to par, and that Chalil the Chalila brought about Chorban. So imagine this imagery. The Gemara tells us how important Shiras HaLeviim is. This is what's going to make or break the Beis HaMikdash. This is what's going to make and break the Jewish people. The Shiras HaLeviim can only take place b'shas nisuch hayayin, when wine is being poured on the Mizbech. So for a person to take the attitude to say, oh, wine is meaningless, and wine is something we have to run away from, and wine is something completely insignificant in halacha, so clearly that's not the case. If the Torah held that wine is such an absolute evil that has no proper place in Avedis Hashem, so then obviously the Torah would never have presented to us this model of the essence, the epitome of Avedis Hashem, the highest level of Avedis HaKavonos, is Davka B'Shas Nisach HaYayin on the Mizbeach, clearly highlighting to us that there is something good, there is something beneficial, there is something positive here. This idea that Yayin has a potential koach in terms of Avedis Hashem, this is not only something that is true in the Rebbe Beis HaMikdash, but it's something that plays out in our own lives as well. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Bava Basra that when we perform the mitzvah of Kiddush, every Friday night we get up and we make Kiddush. So how do you know whether your wine is acceptable for Kiddush or not? Because it says in the little bottle, kosher le Kiddush, le Pesach, le Kiddush, le Dal Kaisas, because the Talmud Rav signed off on it that's kosher le Kiddush. How do you know? What's the definition of wine that's kosher le Kiddush? So the Gemara has a startling statement. The Gemara says, Kol yayin shiroi l'nasech agavi hamizbeach. If it's a type of a wine that can be used as part of the Avedis HaKavanas, then it is acceptable to be used for Kiddush. And if not, then it's not acceptable. So the Gemara is striking in terms of that moshel. What Chazal is telling us, and we don't always think about this, but maybe we should, on Friday night, when you pick up your cup of wine and you recite Kiddush, what you're basically doing is you're saying a Shira Gavi HaMizbeach. That's exactly what the model is. That's exactly what the moshel is. That what took place, the Zman Shabbos, the Mikdash HaKayam, the highlight, the sea of Avedis HaKavonos, is the praising the Rabbeinu Shalom at the time of Shas Nisach HaYayin. That is what's taking place in every single Jewish home on Friday night when you pick up that wine. And for that reason, your wine has to meet the standards of being Roy L'Gabi HaMizbeach. In fact, for this reason, according to many Rishonim, all the wines that we use are actually possible for Kiddush, because most of our wines don't meet those standards of Roy L'Gabi HaMizbeach. So let's say, for example, one of the big problems of Yayin, which may be disqualified L'Gabi HaMizbeach, any wine that has any sugar, any flavoring, any fruit flavoring in it, is automatically disqualified by the Agav HaMizbeach. So therefore the Rambam quotes an opinion that says that if you use wine that has any flavoring whatsoever, the whole thing is posel, you're not Yaitzeh Kiddush, it's the Bracha Matala, the whole thing is no good. So the Rambam says that many disagreed with that. Many argued that if the wine is posel Agav HaMizbeach, not because it's ruined, not because it's getting spoiled, but just because it happens to be a quirk that you're not allowed to bring fruit onto the Mizbeach. The Torah says, dvash, which refers to dvash to eid, dvash to mar, and fruit derivatives are not acceptable to Gabi HaMizbeach. So the Rambam writes that since the reason why you can't bring the fruity wine on the Mizbeach is not because the wine is any worse, but it's just a quirk in Hilchos Karbonos, that kind of wine would be acceptable. The Rambam says, you want to know an example of wine that's not acceptable for Kiddush? If the wine was cooked, if it's Yayin Mevushal, oy, says the Rambam, that's for sure no good, L'Gabi HaMizbeach, and that's for sure no good for Kiddush also. So according to the Rambam, you're not yet to Kiddush with Yayin Mevushal. That's the bad news of the year. The good news of the year is that we pass in the halacha like the Rosh, who says that you can be Yotze Kiddush for Jayim Mechushal, and strongly recommended Rizman Hazeh, that's the route to go. If you don't, you can end up with tray for wine. And please don't bother me, you're not going to get a shower of the week. I'm just going to tell you, you were foolish for having your non-Mechushal wine around. It got touched by the Goyish cleaning lady, so ask a different rabbi. Everyone should only have a Mechushal wine in the house if you have Goyim walking around your house. But we paskin l'halacha that for technical reasons, those wines would still be kosher. So notwithstanding this model, this mashal, there are certain intricacies in halacha if and when we say this particular wine is kosher. But the model is a critical one. The model is telling us that we're looking at a cup of wine, we're picking up a cup of wine with alcohol in it, whatever percent proof is in it, if you use the kind of wine that I like, so it's probably somewhere around the 0.001%. If it's the wine that some people make before here, maybe it's closer to the number 5. I'm not going higher than that. And whatever number you're going to go to, but the model is clear. The model is that you're making Kiddush on Yayin, and you're making Kiddush on Yayin, Haroi Legabi HaMizbech. So the Gemara tells us, truth to be told, in Baba Basra, that technically one can make Kiddush on wine that's not even alcoholic at all. The Gemara says you could squeeze a bunch of grapes on Friday afternoon, can't do it on Shabbos, Friday afternoon, and make yourself a cup of grape juice, and that's acceptable. So the Sefer Chinuch writes that even though that's acceptable, it's not lechatchila. The Sefer Chinuch claims that it's still lechatchila to make Kiddush on wine proper. Why is that? So the Sefer Chinuch explains, because wine has that ability to be ma'orer a person's kavanas. And we'll see as we continue the Shia just how important that role plays. That the wine helps, gives a person a little bit of a kick, gives them a little bit of something, a little bit of a mashu. I said mashu. A little bit of mashu of his onerous, a little bit of excitement, a little bit of his slavos, a little enthusiasm, and that is a good thing, that's a positive thing in terms of the mitzvah of Kiddush. But the evidence, Sefer Chinuch writes, one can fulfill the mitzvah with grape juice. The Shulchan Aruch does not quote that Sefer Chinuch, that's not the absolute halacha. We pasuk in the halacha, the grape juice is probably good to do mechad chila, but there are some who are not able to make Kiddush on wine proper because of that Sefer Chinuch, that there is a little bit of a something here. So now we're taking a look at this model of wine, and again, we're using wine right now as the model of alcoholic beverages, and we're saying, wait a second, the Torah is depicting a very beautiful picture here. The Torah is depicting a picture of wine being brought to Gabi HaMizbeach, Mesamech HaLakim, that's Einu Mishil HaYayin. The halacha is depicting for us reciting Kiddush on an alcoholic beverage, according to some, even Lechatchila Dafka on something which has a little bit of alcohol in it, and that's a good thing, that's a Chreir LaYayin. And that sets the tone for our Shabbos table. So these are potentially very, very positive things. Don't worry, there's going to be another side of this. Everyone's got to stay, no pun intended, for the second half of the Shia. You can't leave it half time of the Shia. You're going to hear the other side in a moment. You got a few more minutes to go. But not only do we find that there are certain mitzvahs that are associated with wine, we also find that even within the realm of Hichas Brachas, again, this is a topic very close to my heart these days because we are learning Ketz and Mevarchim. In case you haven't noticed, so every other Shia this year has something to do with the Hichas Brachas. So there are a whole series of different halachas that govern Birchas Hananin that separate wine from pretty much everything else under the sun, definitely from other kinds of beverages. Just the very institution of the bracha Ber Pi Agofen. The Mishnah tells us in brachas that one recites Ber Pi Agofen is a startling halacha. It is so strange, it breaks all the rules of Hichas Brachas. So first of all, it breaks the basic rule in Hichas Brachas that generally when you take a fruit and you squeeze out the juice of the fruit, so the bracha goes all the way down to Shahakol. We learned this, spent a lot of time in this year in Yeshiva. The Gemara tells us that if you take a fruit and you extract the honey from the date, so the Gemara says the bracha is going to be shahakol. You take apple juice, it's shahakol. You take orange juice, probably shahakol. Grapes are different. Somehow, all of a sudden, some special halachma of Sinai, somehow, that hukas brachas, everything is different. Why is everything different? So the Gemara explains, not only is grape juice or wine, the derivatives of grapes, different in terms of hukas brachas, it's actually different in terms of other dinim which are derais as well. It's different in terms of Hilchas Orla. It's a lamashal if a person takes Orla, apples that are from the first 3 years, and turns them into apple juice, that juice is not really considered to be Orla min HaTorah. If you take orange juice, that's not really considered to be Orla. But if you take grape juice from grapes that are Orla, those grapes are Asam and Daraisa, Yechai Malkas, that's the real thing. In Hilchas Truma, that's the case. In Hilchas Shmita, that's the case. In Medkama areas of Halacha, Dinim Deraisa, that grape juice wine is different. It's just halachically different than other kinds of liquids, other kinds of beverages. And therefore, Chazal instituted that not only do we recite not a bracha of Shahabo on grape juice, but the bracha actually goes up, believe it or not. That when you drink wine, that's the highest level of partaking of the grapes. Other kinds of foods, the more you push the food down the list in terms of significance, the lower the bracha goes. Here, the bracha stringency goes up. So here, Chazal clearly, by instituting the bracha berpi agofen, are adding to this theory that there is something very, very special happening here. There is something very, very chashiv that's happening here. If you just keep on looking more and more and more in the realm of brachos and other related halachos, it is very clear that this is the case, that wine, particularly wine, has a very unique status in halacha. There is a din, for example, if a person is in the middle of eating a meal, and now he wants to have a cup of wine, so you have to recite a bracha of Bar Pri HaGofen. That is something that is usually unheard of in terms of other beverages. Now, it's only unheard of because we paskin that way. There were some Rishonim who said it was very heard of. There were some Rishonim who say that, you have to make a bracha on soda and oranges also in the moment. So this particular raya is only true according to we paskin. There's one opinion of Rishonim that maintains that any drink except for water, you have to make a new bracha, you have to make a shahakal right smack in the middle of the meal as well. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes that we don't really follow that, but the Shulchan Aruch quotes a practice that some Rishonim had as a midas chasidus, that they would try to make a bracha on something else, they'd make a bracha on some sugar or something else, to try to avoid that shaila. So that practice is just about over. I don't know anybody under the sun who does that except for one person. So this goes back years ago. We had this chusim, and we still lived in Washington Heights at the time, and we had Rabbi Yehuda Samet Shlita. Some of you may have met him, my father-in-law's brother. He's been mashkiach in Rosh Hameach for decades. So he's a tremendous, tremendous tzaddik. So he was once eating at our house on a meal, and it was a regular meal, it wasn't a Shabbos meal, and he had washed, and he wanted to have a cup of juice or whatever it was. So he asked me where the sugar is. What was his question? Where can he get this little bit of drop of sugar? So my wife had no idea what in the world, what can we do? What do you want sugar for? What is everything okay? Like, I'm not sure what the problem was. I said, don't worry, that's the one person Shulchan Aruch is talking about, the Yerei Shemayim. There's one of them left in this generation, the Yerei Shemayim, who's makpid to have sugar before he has a cup of orange juice in the meal. But wine, everybody agrees that you have to make a bracha berpi agofen. So the Gemara says, why is that? Because wine is different. Because wine is kaveh bracha le'atzmai. It's considered to be different. It breaks the rules of Nuchas Brachas. It breaks the rules to such a degree in Nuchas Brachas that even the bracha Corona that we say on wine is radically different. All other beverages get it, just a plain, simple bar nefashos. Bar nefashos is literally you're 1 foot out the door. You're saying, some people bring some Muslims 1 foot out the door, some people Muslim bar nefashos 1 foot out the door. We have different degrees of what's called out the door. But bar nefashos is probably pretty much out the door, just more than anybody else. They say, the way the story goes is that they ask a question, why did Aleinu get such a prominent place in the Davin Rosh Hashanah? So they say it was the Rabban Shalom like asking Mechila from Aleinu. Aleinu come to the Kisya Kovin once and said, such a bizarre. The guy's already out the door. No one's saying Aleinu. The guy's his phone's off. He's ready on the halfway to the bus. So the Rabban Shalom said, no, once a year you're going to get your heyday. Everyone's going to spend 20 minutes. Aleinu B'Shamah. So Bar Nefashos doesn't get that heyday. Bar Nefashos just never sees the light of day. But Bar for Ala Yefen, that's a real one. You got to stop. Some Rishonim say you have to even sit down, maybe. Ala Yefen, that's a real bracha chorona. There are some Rishonim who even go so far as to say that the bracha of Ala Yefen may be deraisa. V'chalta v'savate v'rachta. Why? Because it says previously in Tupsukam earlier, Eretz Gefen at Eri Barimam. So when you drink something from the Gefen, you have to make a bracha chronic going to some, it's even a deraisa. So what? Hilchus, brachas, takes it very, very seriously. So now we have a lot of different areas of halacha that are pointing in this direction that there's something very, very good and very, very positive about Yayin. So we have the halachas of the Beis HaMikdash pointing that way. We have the halachas of Kiddush, which are mimicking the Beis HaMikdash. We have some intricacies of Hilchus brachas. And you have a few more examples of many, many mitzvahs that we do, which we try to perform in the context of Yayin. Kiddush we mentioned, Havdalah is mentioned by Chazal also, but there are actually many, many things that aren't even mentioned by Chazal that we actually aren't really required technically to do Al HaKosher Yayin, and the minute Yisrael became to do Al HaKosher Yayin anyway. We recite Bichas Eresin Al HaKosher Yayin, we recite Bichas Nesu'in Al HaKosher Yayin, we recite the bracha of Avashe Kiddush and Didmi Bet, and we say so many different brachas we recite Al HaKosher Yayin, which are not really required to do so. And yet somehow intuitively, Klal Yisrael realizes that if you want to give chashivus to something, the way to do it is to do it Al HaKosher Yayin. That's what the Gemara says in the Masechet Eruvin in the end of the third parak, that when you say Shechiyanu on Yom Tov, you're supposed to say Al HaKosher Yayin. But the Yavin, if you say it in the Tzul Bashuk, you say it in the street, you're also Yadzei. But that's not really right. The correct place to say Shechiyonu is Dafke in the context of a Kosher Yayin. So that's why the Gemara has a whole discussion. What do you do on Shechiyonu on Yom Kippur night? So how are you going to make shechianu on Yom Kippur night? You're going to make a bar piagafa, then you're going to drink the wine. The kid's going to drink the wine. Who's going to drink the wine? So we had to do away with it. We had to never cut out the bar piagafa part of Yom Kippur night. But a regular shechianu should be on a kosher yayin. That's what Yaakov Emden writes in a tshuva, that he decided he's going to take on the entire half of Klal Yisrael. He's going to argue with all the women. There's an age-old custom that women recite shechianu when they bench lecht on Yom Tov. So if Yaakov Emden points out correctly, it's against the Gemara. The Gemara said the Feirish that Lechet Chili is supposed to hear Shechiyanu Kol Sheyayin. So he went on a crusade to try to stop all the women in town from making Shechiyanu with the bench lech. Told them they should wait till the husbands come home. So he tried, he tried, he tried. He started with the first one with Rebbetzin Emden, and she told him that that's not what we do in our family. That my mother did it this way, my girl did it this way. So give me shiur for tomorrow. So I was—I don't want to say I'm smarter than Yaakov Emden, but I was smarter. I didn't even tell my wife today. I said Yaakov Emden lost the war 300 years ago. I should start it again. So yesh for yesh. So those women who want to make shechem with the bench lech can still say shechem with the bench lech. Doesn't want to do it in kiddush, whatever. Just one time, not two times. One shechem per person per custom. So here we have all these brachas, all these chashuvah things. We're giving more chashuvahs and more chashuvahs and more chashuvahs. The bris is chashuvah, the sher brach is chashuvah, and the shechiyon is chashuvah. Everything is chashuvah, and everything points. It all lands in the same place. It all ends up in yayin. So truth to be told, we've been talking a lot about yayin now because some of the things we've been talking about actually require real yayin. But in halacha, even recognizes that there are actually other liquids, other beverages that may be parallel to yayin. And they have certain aspects, certain dimensions of yayin that yayin itself doesn't have. So the post can actually discuss where do other kinds of alcoholic beverages fit into this grandiose picture. So you cannot use other beverages on the Mizbeach. You probably can't use other beverages for Kiddush on Friday night. It's a little bit tricky. On Shabbos morning, I'm well aware of those Kiddushes that sound something like, Al Kimbaido, Shachan Yabivuroi. I've been there, done that. I know about those. Okay, so we should change them to Vishamru and Bar Piagofen, but whatever they are, they are. And but there is a notion in halacha that there is a certain parallel, and even more than a parallel, that certain other kinds of beverages have. There actually is a comment of the Taz concerning the sugyas of bracha acharona, where the post can begin to discuss about can we make the following equation. For this, you have to remember back to your driving days. I mean, your you know driver's ed days. So remember, who remembers when they took their, we got some teenage boys around, okay? Who remembers when they took their written test? Remember that? I remember the old days, the written exam was what? It was written, Kishmai Kenu. You walked in with a pen and paper and you wrote down the answers. So now everything is online, everything else. But it used to be, what were the questions? So the questions were, 90% of the questions were about alcohol. How much can you drive here and how much can you drink here? And the other 10% of the questions were, how far can you be from a stop sign or from a hydrant without getting a ticket? Those were the two shots. So I'll tell you the honest truth, I never felt that it was wrong. I don't drink, so Baruch Hashem, I didn't have the 90%. And the 10%, I still, out of your mazeh, I have no clue. How far, anyone know? How far you'll have
to park? Nobody here knows how far to park from a stop sign or a curb. Look at record.
I know my own curb. You're telling me no one knows. It's called Lovin, except it's Lovin on the other side of the curb. That's the spur. Person says, as long as it's Rove, we left Rove the driveway open. Ruba Kakula, that's also. That was not a complaint. That was not a public service. That was just airing out my feels. So there is an equation, if you remember, it's called the blood alcohol content. So blood alcohol content, kishmai kenu, how much alcohol do you have in your blood after you drink? So there are three different shurim, right? Who remembers? The chazar. So there's a cup of wine, there's a cup of beer, and there's a cup of other kinds of liquids. So I think the equation came out something like 1 ounce of other kinds of liquid, one ounce of liquor is the equivalent of 4 ounces of wine, something give or take like that. So that is a taz. That's a beferish taz in Arachayim. The taz discusses taz is not a drive. The taz, after park your horse and buggy 4 hours away from the. So the taz discusses the following shaila. We know that there is a lacha of mali lugmov. Let's say, for example, in order for a person to be yaitzeh in the midst of kiddush, so you have to drink a certain amount. You have to drink a cheek full of something. So the taz begins to discuss about maybe we could borrow those shiurim of Mali Lugma, maybe those shiurim were said when it comes to wine, when it comes to other kinds of beverages, so maybe the 1 ounce is like the 4 ounces, so maybe we could lower the number a little bit. So some wanted to say, based on the stars, who says you need a revias for a cup of kiddush? I mean, we know that Gemara said the favorite, you have to make kiddush on a cup of revias. So some came, a group of posts came, and said, what if you're making kiddush for whatever reason on schnapps? So maybe 1 ounce schnapps is the halachic equivalent of 4 ounces of wine. So 4 ounces is probably well more than a revius. So maybe you can get in with a little schnapps glass. So that is the source for that minig that you've seen in certain shtiblach, where they, I see too many people nodding, so that's not a good sign, but it's been so long, no one remembers, that a little shtiblach, where they used to make the kiddushes on the schnapps glasses, that's a throwback to the Taz. It's based on that idea of the Taz, that there is a certain degree of parallel in terms of the beverages, but parallel in the sense of how serious, how alcoholic and content it is, that could actually, according to some posts, can actually change the halacha. But getting back to our basic theme, in terms of it is clear that there is a certain degree of positivity in terms of wine and halacha. To deny it is just mamash not true. There's nisach hayayin, there's kiddush al hakoyis, there are brachas al hakoyis, there's bar pri abofen, there's a special kaver brach al yatzbo, there's a special dinner brach achmarana, there are isis. So to say that it's meaningless is clearly not the case. But now, let's switch gears a little bit. We'll go into the second half for a little bit. And just draw a couple of pictures. And just take a look at some observations about wine, what the Torah says about wine, both explicitly and in between the lines. There is an idea that is suggested by some of Farshim and Chumash, that sometimes if you want to get a good sense as to a message that the Torah is trying to tell you about any given thing, it's important to look at where do we first bump into that concept? Where's the first time that we find something playing a major, major role? So let's take Yayin, for example, and just kind of just walk, so take an honest reading of Sefer Bereishis and take a look and see what role wine has in Sefer Bereishis. Why do you think the Torah is telling us stories? You know, Sefer Bereishis is primarily stories. Why do you think the Torah is telling us stories? The stories are not just because we want to brush up in our ancient Jewish history. The Torah is Yoru Mishpatech Liyakov. It's a Sefer Horah. It's teaching us how to live our lives. The Torah will often just teach us important lessons by stories. We know, as Mechanchim know, that sometimes you can teach a lot more, you can encapsulate an entire lesson with a story, much more than just by teaching hardcore facts. So very often the Torah will depict the story for us, and we're supposed to realize what the significance of that story is. So here the Torah begins by introducing to us wine, at least in the Torah Shebichtav, and we bump into wine, the most explicit place, and if you were a Muslim here and there before, but the most explicit place is, we bump into a story about Noach. We bump into Noach, who was, let's not forget, he was an ish tzaddik, tamim hayah b'dereisa, the only person who basically was zeichet to survive out of the entire world. Now, Noach, I always feel, Pashas Noach, I always feel he gets the bad rap. Everyone always quotes the Maimon Chazal that Avram was greater, but there was another Maimon Chazal that Noach would have been greater if he would have been the general. So there definitely is some nice positive things every once in a while, and I think we owe him a little bit of, to say a nice word here and there. Noach was Ish Tzadik Tamim Hayah B'Dereisa. If not for him, none of us would be standing here today. So I always feel it's like Aleinu, that Noach got his moment in Zichronos, that, by Yisrael Akim is Noach, that before you blow that shofar, so at least Kachakoros HaToy for the Alta Zeta for Noach. So Noach Ish Tzadik Tamim Hayah B'Dereisa. He leaves the Teva. He offers Kabonos. It's going to be a whole new beginning. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises him all the brachas that are going to come from him and his descendants. And what happens? He plants a vineyard. Vayesh min hayayin vayishkar. And the rest is history. Vayishkar b'soch olam. Whatever happened or didn't happen. Machleksim. Nice it wasn't. Pretty it wasn't. Good it wasn't. And a role model it wasn't. And the Torah is clear as day. Vayesh min hayayin vayishkar. It's clear as day. If you want to just keep on going through Sefer Bereishis a little bit, the Torah tells us another story in the middle of Parshas Vayera about a very, very bizarre episode, Lot and his daughters, and it's clear as day. We even have a phrase in Allah called Shechusa Shalot, that Chazal even coined the phrase that to get a shikr like Lot, there's drunk Lot. Look what happens. Look at what some of the pictures are. Let's just move on a little bit to other pictures, other descriptions, both in Tesh B'Chzav and Tesh B'Apeh. The Torah later on, in Parshas Pinchas, the end of Parshas Pinchas, so speak about the events of the Benos Moab, Yochalom is no so El Benos Moab. So the Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin fills us in a little bit as to how did that happen? You're talking about major numbers of Klal Yisrael falling for the Benos Moab. How did that happen? So the Gemara says it was very, very simple. It was alcohol. Gemara says that black and white, it was wine. In fact, the Gemara talks about was the wine also, was it not also, was the Ayin Nesach, was the Raisa, the Rabbanon. And basically, the Gemara says the downfall of Klal Yisrael was just that. So all of a sudden, we find that wine is associated a couple of times in Tesh B'Chzav, in Tesh B'Apeh, with very, very difficult repercussions, very, very serious consequences of wine. And just to round out the story, so the Torah in Parashas Hazino, in giving the mashal of Avodah Zarah, Yishtu Yayin Nesichon, Yayin Nesach, the Torah speaks about Yayin Nesach. Out of all things that's associated with Avodah Zarah, we know that there are many, many things that we stay away from because we shouldn't have too much assimilation, too much closeness, too much issues that we relate to intermarriage. We know there's Bishalachim. I know I can't eat a piece of chicken that the non-Jew cooked, then there's Pasachim, and there's this Shemen Akum. But Yayin Akum, that's like the worst of the worst. The most Chumrah of the most Chumrah, off limits. Somebody have a bottle of wine that's in the fridge and the non-Jew came and wine? Wine doesn't mix. Wine is just too dangerous. Wine is a taboo. It has problems associated with it. So what is the picture? What is the Torah's message to us? We are getting contradictory messages. We're getting messages on the one hand about this is the way to bring karbonos, and this is the way to make kiddush, and this is the way to have simple yontif, and this is the way to make brachas, and this is the way, this is what you do with the sherev brachas, if you do under the chuppah, and this is great, bring out the wine. And then the Torah is telling us in the same breath, the Torah is saying, bring out the wine, shkoyach, noach, lotz. Those are your role models of drinkers in Tanakh. You have Noach, you have Lot's daughters, you have the Benos Moav, the Baal Peor. That's the route you want to go down, that's okay. That's the picture that the Torah is drawing for us. In case you happen to learn Navi past Sefer Shoftim, in case you make it after fifth grade, so you may learn other Nevuas that speak very, very clearly in much more graphic terms about the negative influences of wine and getting drunk, etc. So what is the picture? What is the imagery that the Torah is trying to present? So I think, Lafayette is dieting, I think the imagery is very, very clear, and I think the message of the Torah is very, very clear. That the role that wine has ultimately gets to the heart and soul, to the very essence, the very core of a Nekuda in Avodas Hashem. When I was in high school, so one of the years we had, we had a color war in high school. Why do we have color wars in high school? I still don't understand that, but we had color war 1 week in high school. They'll tell you that's very important for us to develop our skills as experiential learning and other roles. Whatever it is, Bill Simon, it's all good. But remember somebody commented, maybe we should cut this off the tape, but I'll just say it anyway. Somebody was commenting about, you know, a little bit too many color worlds, a little bit too many onings, a little bit too many Shabbatels, a little bit too many trips, a little bit something. So they were commenting and said that, you know, school has become camp with regions. And if you live in New Jersey, it's camp without regions. So we'll leave that out for another time. I'm not, that was not a kitrug on anybody in the education field, myself included. Okay, so back to our story. So I remember we had a color war back in high school, and the two teams were Lev and Moach, the heart and the mind. You can imagine that we had to, the team on Moach had to speak about, you know, I still remember our theme song, you know, about the Torah and about the Gedolim, there, the greatness of the mind. I remember. And then you had the Lev guys, I don't know what they sang, but they sang something about like, you know, something rah-rah, you know, they were having kumzitzes, you know, something, and we were sitting and learning, you know, sugyas of Nasa Dov Yava. That was pretty much the breakdown in the Kala War. The mice, they won. But anyway, we'll leave that. By the way, you should just know that you can verify this with your uncle, that he was a Rebbe in the school at the time, and he was very, very upset that Lev won. He said the only reason why they let Lev win is because otherwise they would have felt the bad. He said because everybody knows that Moach has to win. That was his take on this story. A briskech. Okay, anyway. So there's Moach and there's Lev. What is the relationship between one's mind and one's intellect, and one's rational thinking, and one's Lev and one's heart? So there are two psukim that are almost similar, but the subjects are so radically different from one another, and there's one word of a nuance of difference, and I think that it literally opens up our hearts and our minds as to what the relationship between the Moach and Lev is supposed to be. When is the pasuk, actually going back to Noach for a moment, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu receives that korban that Noach brings, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a comment about mankind. The Yomer Hashem, how's it go? El Libo. Hashem speaks of Yachol to his heart. And he says, I'm never going to destroy humanity again, but Yomer Hashem El Libo. There's another pasuk that's not in the Chumash, it's actually in Kriyas HaMegillah. It's also of a Yomer and Belibo, but a little bit of a different player. All the Bakar is Yom Haman Belibo. Haman also speaks. Haman also speaks to his heart. So Chazal would really make this observation. The Rebbe Hashem speaks to his heart, and Haman speaks to his heart. What is the difference between the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to Yochel and the way Haman HaRosh speaks? So the first one explained, V'yemer Hashem El Libo. El means I am speaking to my heart. My heart is the recipient of the conversation. My heart, my emotions, the joy, the ecstasy is there. But the Yemen Hashem Alibo, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kaviyachash Baruch Hu is the, doesn't have a heart, doesn't have a mind. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us as a role model, when we speak to our lave, when we speak to our feelings, when we speak to our emotions, it's the Yemen Hashem Alibo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in control of his lave. The Yemen Haman, it's not the Yemen Haman Alibo, it's the Yemen Haman Bilibo. His heart is telling us everything. His desires, his taivos, they are setting the stage and they are dictating the decisions that he's going to make. So who is calling the shots within the world of the human being? There are two forces that make up the essence of what a person is all about. There is the rational, there's the logical, there's the seichel, there's the thought out, understanding what consequences are, understanding what the results of a person's actions are. That's the seichel of Adam. And then there's lev, which is unbridled, lev, just emotion, just without any control whatsoever. There's seichel and there's lev, there's moach and there's lev. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us with both. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to use both. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not create anything with Torah. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us with that understanding of emotion and that lev and feelings, that side of our personality, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want us to ignore it, didn't want us to destroy it, because Baruch Hu wants it there for a purpose. But because Baruch Hu wants that the relationship between the lev and the moach has got to be v'yom Hashem eliboy, and if it turns to be v'yom Haman belibo, so then we know that we're going down the wrong path. The Gemara tells us, mentioned before, about eid omim shira el al hayayin. Yayin and shira go hand in hand. Ein Adam Shar Shira El B'toch Simcha V'Tuv Leivav, Chazal say, that the lev is ultimately what brings out the shira of a person. A shira is not an intellectual exercise. Shira is something that comes from the heart. All of a sudden, a person just bursts forth with a song. There's something in his inner kolchos that brings forth the song. Now, you're talking to a guy who is beyond tone deaf, but that's what the people who actually know how to make songs will tell you. It's an inspiration. It's those moments of inspiration that come from the libra. They come from the heart. They don't come from the geometry problem on the blackboard. They come from the heart and soul, from the deeper recess of a person's emotions. That's the source of shira. So the Torah wants us to have that. If the Torah didn't want us to have that, then there wouldn't be a mitzvah of saying Hallel. There wouldn't be a mitzvah of Ein Adam Shar Shira Tach Simcha V'Tuv Leivav. Rebbe Hashem would never have given us that kochos ha-nefesh to have a lev that could sing, burst forth and song to the Rebbe Shalom. So it's a good, positive thing. That's lev. And Yayin is part of that. Because ultimately, what Yayin has an unbelievable koch to do, as the Sefer Chinuch says, Yayin, in very, 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 very small, I make that very, very small a few more times smaller, has that ability to bring out a little bit of a mashu of that lev. It dulls the seichel, a tiny drop, and it gives that koach, perhaps, to express oneself in a way that he wouldn't necessarily express himself otherwise. That's a tremendous koach, the orer as a kavanas, the orer as a lev, ein omim shira el al hayayin, that's a good thing, that's a positive thing. However, it's a good thing and an unbelievably dangerous thing, all at the same time. And generally in the world, look around us, the most positive things are the most dangerous things as well. Fire is a very, very positive thing. We couldn't survive without it. It's also one of the most dangerous things that we have. Kohena v'kohena. Anything that's positive, anything that can create, also has a tremendous sakana to it. Yayin has a tremendous sakana in its very koach. Because what Yayin has that ability to do is to break down the moach a little bit and have the lev take over, and Rachmana Litzlan have the lev dictate to the moach what to do. And therein lies the basic essence of the sugya, of what the danger of alcohol is. That alcohol has that ability to change that perfect balance in a person's lev and moach. And all of a sudden, decisions are being made without understanding, without thinking properly the consequences of those decisions, without having a full-fledged, rational decision. Things are being done, words are being said, decisions are being made that can never be taken back, and they're not coming from a well-thought-out, they're not coming from the point of moach, because the moach, quite frankly, is not working properly. The moach has been taken over by the lev. What a person has done is that they've entered into the world of Vayona Haman Belibo, where the lev is dictating to the moach rather than the other way around. Therein lies the very essence that the Yayin that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, it's the same koach. It's the koach to break the moach a tiny drop, enough for it to be good, enough to make Kiddush, enough to sing Shiras for Tishbachos, Ad Kan, no more. The minute that one crosses that threshold, so then one is now entered into the world of the lev is taken over. When the lev takes over, that's noach. That's benos moav. That's benos lot. That's avodah zarah. That's everything that follows suit. All the averis achamuros b'yoseh all follow from that one. It's a very, 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 very fine line. A very, very delicate line. So the question is, where do we go from here? So we have two sugyas, two sides of the sugya. So on the one hand, we have the positive. On the other hand, we have the tremendous negative. So the Torah understands that there are different models and different responses for different people in this area. There are some people who cannot tolerate b'chla. And for such individuals, the correct approach is the nazir. For some people, even the smallest amount of wine is going to throw them off that delicate balance. And for them, let them make kiddush on challah. For them, they'll figure out what to use for the alcohol instead. For them, kadosh yira. Such a person. A person who's not at that stage, as bad as that, we are not recommending. I do not want to see anybody walking out of here tomorrow morning and talking to the Dharma than a zero zero macabre tonight. We're not going down that route today. That's not happening. And if you're saying there's a shimshon, you're in big trouble because I don't even know whether the article can help you on Erev Rosh Hashanah. Better a different result. So we don't want that. That's not the route. But for many people, it is okay. And very, 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 very small within the proper guidelines, and to understand shame and mitzvah liyeta davara. If it's done totally and completely l'shem shemayim, so I'll give you some examples of l'shem shemayim. Making kiddush on Friday night l'fianyas daiti is l'shem shemayim. In simcha el v'vasa v'yayin, a little bit of wine at a yontif meal. I said a little. Revias is good l'chol adeus. And on me, when you come to the kisya kavod and they ask you, how come you didn't use the chazanish revias for yayin? Because Rabbi Zablowski said, it's only drabonim according to Tosfos. Yesh l'chol 3 ounces. Trust me, it's not going to be in your top 10 avera list if you first more revias for that. Trust me. Okay. I don't want to talk about anything else at this moment. It's way too far away from Purim, so we'll have plenty of time over the next couple of weeks to talk about that. But I'm just talking about the Rashi Prakim. So yeah, there's a little bit of room, a little bit, very, very, very small, as individuals. And it's very, very tricky. It gets very tricky in terms of its tzibur. How does the tzibur navigate under these circumstances? So there is a sugya in Masechta Shabbos, where the way many Rishonim took the sugya, as when we're dealing with what's called a Hezek HaRabim, or Nezek HaRabim, or Sakonis HaRabim. So many Rishonim wrote the opinion that the regular rules of Pikuach Nefesh are actually changed a little bit. When it comes to an individual making a decision just for himself, so then he'll go to the doctor tell him it is dangerous, not dangerous, you know, he has to eat on Yom Kippur, does eat on Yom Kippur, does B'chal Shabbos, not B'chal Shabbos. It's an individual one-on-one kind of a basis question. There are many Rishonim who say, when you have a Hezek HaRabim by definition means Sakonah. Even if we can't pinpoint exactly why this particular thing is going to absolutely lead to sakana, the rules are different. Why? Because there are too many factors. There are too many variables. There are too many people around. You think it's not a sakana. For you, you may be right. Maybe it's not a sakana for you. But it's hard to make that decision for the other 300 people who are in the same matzav. And therefore, when you make decisions that impact about a tzibur, you have to look at the entire tzibur. And you have to look and see who is involved, who is going to be impacted by some of the decisions. And therefore, even though I have no tainus, and I make kiddush on wine on Friday night, and I drink a little bit on Yom Tov also, as yechidim are allowed to make that decision within their own dalet amos of the house. As a tzibur, we have to be extremely careful. And as a tzibur, we have to set certain standards that are safe for the entire tzibur. And when we talk about the entire tzibur, we are talking, tzibur Hashem, where we're zoche to have even some of the younger members of our tzibur with us tonight, a tzibur is not just made up of the grown-up men. As Moshe Rabbeinu told the Paro, the vaneinu v'zkeneinu v'saneinu, everyone's part of the tzibur. And therefore, decisions that we make in public settings have to take into consideration the wellness and the health of the entire tzibur's impact upon it. And even within the Dalai Lama's of one's own home, one has to make those decisions as well. The decisions for yourself, every responsible person has to realize that the decisions that are made in the Dalai Lama's of your home are going to impact any and every person in your home, even those people who are sitting right around your table, your immediate family members, how much more so they're going to be impacted by the decisions that you make. So therefore, one has to think 1,000 times over and take the sugya with the utmost seriousness that it deserves. So yes, we're not coming down and saying that wine is also no such thing. It's not true. On the other hand, this is far from a freebie, and there is a reason why this Sunday night cheer party, whatever you call, has Snapple and iced tea at it, not like some other kinds of gatherings. So there's a good reason for that. We haven't yet seen there's a mitzvah derice or mitzvah derabanan to have wine on a Sunday night in February. No one's been mechadish that din yet. Not yet. So Rabbi Sai, Shoma mitzvah le'edah davara. A person is doing it in certain very, very limited contexts of mitzvahs, as being done under proper supervision, as being done in the privacy of one's own home. So then we can discuss it, that each person has to make that decision as to what they consider to be the appropriate, and hopefully with Hashem, they will make the proper decision. With that decision, one has to be careful about all the impacts it has on themselves, not to fool themselves, not to fool their children, not to fool the members of the community, to realize just how significant this is. So really, we can almost use this as an opportunity, not just to focus on the intricacies of alcohol per se, but really in general about the seichel and the lev. The lev is a beautiful, wonderful thing, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us this tremendous koach of saying shira and being mishabeach to Ribono Shel Olam and serving the Kodesh Baruch Hu with all our kumzitzes and all our unes. It's beautiful, they're wonderful, the kolamadris and the shivach, they're beautiful, wonderful, wonderful opportunities, but everything has to be guided by the seichel, everything has to be guided by the moach. Kodesh Baruch Hu give us a siyata d'shmaya, to be over to Hashem, mitoch simcha, mitoch levav. We should come back to the time when we can be once again bring the karbonos on the mizbeach of Shirei David Avdecha Nismach Vinyan Sholem. We should be zoicha to have that wine poured on the mizbeach once again, to be able to shiras with Kodesh Baruch Hu with Fnei Hashem the Ba'i Meis Hamikdash Shibanu Hekum.
Amen. We have a